message is presented to you by Victory Christian Center in Farmer City, Illinois. For more information, contact us at www.vccfarmercity.org.
We started a series last week talking about how we're led by God, how He leads His people in the earth today. And I've been wanting to talk about this for a while. It's been itching and burning inside me, and I like talking about this. It's really neat, because I'm not saying I know everything there is to know. Neither do you. We all know in part. But every time we go back and we go looking again, even at something familiar, something maybe we've studied before, but if we go back with those fresh eyes and that fresh heart, and in faith saying, Holy Spirit, show me something I didn't see last time I was here. Even if I think I've already seen it all, there is more, so show me more. And we every day when we read our word, we should be doing that. Starting off that time saying, Holy Spirit, speak to me today. Maybe you're reading about the Christmas story for the who knows what time, and you're going through Luke chapter 2 again, and you're thinking, I know everything there is to know, but we don't know everything. And He can make something come alive to you that you've never seen before. He can make you see something to make you wonder, has that been in here all along? It never caught my attention. He's so good at that, and He so desires to do that for us. But we need to be in faith about it. We need to be looking to Him to do that for us. So go into every devotion time anticipating with a prayer like that, saying, Holy Spirit, show me something. Jesus said, you're my teacher. In fact, that's what we're going to start on today. I got my notes in the wrong place. But that's where we're going to start, is what John said, not John, what John reported, what Jesus said on the night before He went to the cross, when He started preparing them for the change of the seasons. We were about to end the old covenant and start the new. We were about to end the Old Testament church, as it were, and start the New Testament church, and He was preparing them. And in fact, let's just go back and read that now. In John chapter 16 and in verse 13, Jesus said, He said, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. That's what we're looking for. He will guide us into all truth, because that's what we need in any given situation, is we need the truth about the matter. What's the truth about what's happening right now? What's the truth about what I need to do in this situation? The truth is what will set us free, and everything else is peripheral. We want to know what the truth is, and that's His role inside our lives, is to be that revealer of truth. So, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He is the revealer of truth, and He takes great pleasure in doing that. He takes great pleasure in revealing Jesus to us. And what we did last week then was we went through Romans chapter 14. That was our basis. And we compared and contrasted being led by the Spirit versus being led by the flesh. And we won't go over that again, but I'll remind you that Galatians chapter 5 is a companion chapter that goes with Romans chapter 14. And they'll give you two perspectives of the same thing. And so we talked about that last week. And we looked at verse 14 as the one I'll review. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We're to be led by the Holy Spirit today. There's a whole lot of other things that people are led by, but He says right here, we're to be led by the Holy Spirit. We can and should have an awareness of Him in our lives. We should be aware of where He is, who He is, how He speaks to us. Things like that. And we talked about that. We set that up a little bit last week. This week, I'm going an interesting direction. And it's with a little bit of hesitation, which I'll explain in just a moment. But you do understand that in the church today, and I don't mean in this church, as a whole, all of the Christian churches around the world who profess Jesus Christ as Savior, and there are a bunch of us, but you do understand that millions of Christians in the earth today do not believe that God can speak directly to them today. They do not believe that. If you read what that verse says, when Jesus says the Holy Spirit will reveal truth to you, He'll lead you, He'll guide you, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If you believe that's true, even in the church today, you are in the minority. Most do not believe that he speaks to his church today. Most do not believe that. And so I want to talk about that this morning. And that's why I feel just a little weird in that. I'll spend the biggest part of this morning talking about what the church believes today and why that bothers me. Now, I want to preface by saying this. I'm not picking on anyone. And I'm not pointing fingers at my brothers and sisters in Christ. That is not my aim. I love all of my brothers and sisters. Everyone who professes a faith in Jesus Christ, that's my brother and my sister, and I love them, and I'm not out to embarrass them or make fun of them or pick on them. That is not my heart, and it is not my intent. But there is a doctrine in the church today that bothers me, and that's what I want to look at. So know my heart. I'm not picking on people, but I want to compare this doctrine that's so prevalent to what the Word says. That's really my aim this morning. So I'm not picking on people. And I want to say that up front because that's never my heart. But I'm not going to get everything said I want to say this morning. You're going to have to come back next week to catch the rest of it. But you'll get that as we go. Let's see how much we can get. Oh, my goodness. I'm looking at the clock going, and I'm just getting started. Well, let's get done what we can. That's all right. That's nothing new around here. It's not. There are many Christians today that if you said something like, God spoke to me, or the Holy Spirit revealed something to me, or God is directing me in something, there are many that will immediately, you know, maybe one of these, I don't know, they're going to look at you and they're going to put a wall up. They might ridicule you, they might mock you, they might not. Depends on whether or not you're in person or on the internet. People are a lot braver on the internet. All the filters come down. People say things they would never say in person. It's one of my issues with the internet. They don't have the filter. But people will take offense at you thinking God speaks to you. Are you kidding me? They think they heard from God. They think God's leading them. All these people who think God speaks to them, they bother me. Heard a preacher say, all these people who never hear from God, they bother me. I don't have someone, it's not even my quote, I can't take credit for that. But here's my question then. If that's the case, then what do they believe? If God's not speaking to us today, then what do they believe? What are many Christians today going by? Well, on paper anyway, they will tell you they're following the Bible. They're following the Word. And I have a quote. And I won't. All the names have been changed today. I'm not dropping any names, but this is a well-known preacher. If I said the name, many of you would know who I'm talking about. And I'm not going to say the name. It's not my intent. But this is a quote. He says, the only trustworthy source of divine truth, guidance for your own spiritual growth, and instruction for the church is the written Word of God. Does God still speak today? Yes. He speaks through the pages of Scripture. Now, at face value, I can't disagree with that. That's true. He very much speaks to us through Scripture. But is that the only way he talks to us today? Because there are some questions we need answers to that the Bible doesn't have a lot to say about. Like, what are you supposed to do for a living? Does God have a plan for your life? Are you supposed to marry this one or that one? Big decision. God? Which one? Am I called to the ministry? And I could go on. There's so many questions specific to us that I can't just say to you, well, turn over to John chapter 3 and you're going to see a verse that tells you. Now, I'm not saying the Word doesn't speak to us. It does, but sometimes we need something a little more specific. And he does have answers to those things. So I'm certainly not belittling what they believe. But I will say this. Is reading the Bible enough? It's a loaded question. Don't answer too quick. Because you understand there are college professors all over America today in secular universities who teach religious courses who, let's be honest, they've read that Bible more than many Christians. And they can quote Scripture better than most Christians, and yet they're not even saved. They're not believing what they're reading. They read that Bible cover to cover. They don't believe it. Has it impacted them? Has it changed their life? Is reading it enough? No, it kind of comes back to what we were talking about. The only way you get something out of reading that is when the Holy Spirit does what Jesus said he would do, which is reveal that truth to you. It's him that makes the words on that page come alive to you. He is the giver of light, the bringer of revelation. And I've said this before, you can read that Bible again and again and again, but until the Holy Spirit reaches inside of you and gives you light, you'll remain in the dark. Yes, there is power in the Word, but it's the Holy Spirit who brings that truth to life, and we recognize who he is. And that's what Jesus said he would do. So yes, I'm not saying don't read your Bible. It is the boundary that protects us. We're not going to get into this today, but there are some people who think God's speaking to them and some pretty interesting, crazy, sometimes damaging stuff. What's our protection for that? It's the Word. It's the Word that protects us from the mishandling of that. So we're not going to go there this morning, but I'm not dismissing the Word. It is our foundation. It's our protection. But you can't discount the Holy Spirit. You can't discount what he does in our lives today. Isn't this what Jesus said? I think I already looked at this, John 16:13. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Now, Jesus said what he meant, and he meant what he said. Now, maybe I'm being a little ornery here. But if he wanted the word Bible there, he would have put it there. He would have said, the Bible will speak to you. He would have said, the Bible will guide you into all truth. He would have said, God's word will speak to you whatever he hears. God's word will tell you of things to come. Now, I know I'm being a little ornery. But he said what he meant, and he meant what he said. That's the job of the Holy Spirit in our life. So, I asked this question a minute ago, what do they believe? What do most Christians believe today? How do they follow God? Well, on paper, they'll tell you they believe the Bible. But in experience, I see two things. I see two groups of Christians in the earth today. One that says, well, man is simply not capable of being led by God. And so they don't try. The second group I see says, God leads us through circumstances. He leads us by the external things that happen in our life. And I may be wrong in this. My perception is the latter group is the bigger group. I think most Christians, good people, love God. I'm not making fun of them. But they tend to think that God is directing the course of their life through circumstances. That whatever happens, happens. Sometimes maybe they get sick or they have an injury or something stops them physically and they'll say something like, uh-oh, I think God's trying to say something to me. You know, I've been working too hard. I've been burning the candle at both ends and I've not been sleeping enough. I've been just pushing my body too hard and God had to knock me down a little bit, get my attention, get me to slow down. I've heard things like that. You know, when you say that, you don't come off looking real good. In other words, God was trying to talk to you, but you weren't listening. And so his only resort was to smack you around a little bit to get your attention, to get you to stop and rest. And you come off kind of looking stubborn, slow, maybe even knuckleheaded. God had to beat me up a little bit to get my attention. And I think a whole lot of Christians today somehow think that through all these various circumstances, God is leading us. He's opening a door. I must have to go that way. He closed a door. I guess I'm not supposed to go that way. These are all external, circumstantial things. And they think that's how God leads us. And so then what they tie it to, they connect it to the sovereignty of God. And they say, well, God is sovereign. And everything that happens in my life is the hand of God. And therefore, that's how he leads me. That's how he guides me. And nothing happens in my life that is not God working in my life. Well, again, this is a quote. And I can't make this stuff up. This is a quote. Every Christian should realize that God is sovereign and in complete control of all things. Anyone who thinks that God talks to them is guilty of the glorification of man. they are the blind leading the blind. End quote. And I know where they're going with that. And I find it interesting that they slip a little half verse in there at the end. They're just the blind leading the blind. That's Jesus that said that in the Gospels. And they pulled half of that verse out and stuck it in here to make it sound spiritual, because nothing else they said can be founded on Scripture. So they found something to stick in there. See, these ideas about the sovereignty of God are misconceptions. They're not true. They're not scripturally accurate. They are traditions that man has made up over the years, and I've traced some of them. I've been doing some research on this. Some of these ideas go back to I think it was the split between the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church in the time of Martin Luther, and I'm not going to get into all that this morning, but I've been digging around on this, and I see where some of these come from. But they are traditions that man has introduced into the church as doctrine, and they're placing their tradition higher than what the Word of God actually says. And I see irony in this, because that's what Jesus accused the Pharisees of in Matthew chapter 15. They had taken their own traditions, their oral laws that they'd come up with, and they gave them more authority than what the Old Testament actually said. And Jesus was calling them on it. And he said, "You've made the Word of God of none effect by your traditions." And then he looked at them and said, "You are the blind leading the blind." That's where that came from. Only when was that statement made? When they put traditions as more authoritative than the Word of God. That's the irony I see. Because we have many people today doing the same thing. And so they think that God's just directing all the things of their life. And they have no idea how many scriptures they have to ignore to say that. They have no idea how many scriptures they're actually contradicting by thinking that everything that happens in their life is the hand of God. It's providence. They don't realize. And so they just wander through life, really, as Jesus said, blindly bouncing off of circumstances as they go. Is that really true? Is life for us supposed to be this school of hard knocks, where we just bounce off a difficult time after hard time, open door and closed door? I heard once one person say, is God really looking after us with a baseball bat, as it were? Maybe back to that Jonathan Edwards type of fire and brimstone preaching. Man, it was sinners in the hands of an angry God. Is that right? Is he really up there just waiting for us to do something in the wrong direction so he can smack us? I don't think that's an accurate picture. Let me think. Try to think of some examples of what that might be. Maybe my car didn't start this morning. I guess God's trying to tell me not to go to work today. I think a lot of people have used that one, but not because they think it's God, just because it's convenient. Maybe that's not a good example. I got laid off at work today. They fired me. Must be God trying to tell me something. Guess I need to get a different job. Now, what did Paul say? Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. He didn't say as many as are led by circumstances. You know, when Jesus described the Holy Spirit, he said he is the helper, he is the comforter, he is our teacher, our guide, the revealer of truth. He shows us things to come. That doesn't sound like someone who's going to beat the daylights out of me. Now, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit. But let me ask this question. Is God an intelligent being? Well, that's a loaded question. That's kind of a waste of a question. I don't need to ask that one. Now, let's move on to the next one. Are you an intelligent being? Am I an intelligent being? Now, that question's worth asking. Am I? Are you? I think we are. Well, then that poses my third question. How should two intelligent beings communicate? I would think intelligently. We are made in the likeness and image of God. If you're saved, if Jesus is your Savior, you have the very DNA of God in your spirit, man. We've talked about that. You have the love of God on the inside of you. He is in you. You are His child. You're made in His image and His likeness. So I think many times then, God communicating with His children is kind of like, and this really isn't the best example because it's not big enough, but it's like maybe a a wise father, or go another generation, a wise grandfather who's lived a life of experience, and he's trying to communicate to a 2 or 3 year old grandchild and impart his wisdom to them. And with us and God, I think it's even further than that. We don't begin to scratch how intelligent and how wise he is. But it's still done. A wise parent, a wise grandparent can still put things in terms that that child can comprehend. You get down on their level and you speak their language and you help them to understand. You help them to grow. You walk them through their education. That's just natural parents. How about God? He is more than able to communicate intelligently with us on terms that we can understand without having to beat us up. I want to show you a psalm. We'll go to Psalm chapter 32 and verse 8. Psalm 32, 8 says this, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye." Now, the King James is a little hard to read there, so let me add another one. This one, I grabbed the complete Jewish Bible because I like the way they put it. He says, "I will instruct and teach you in this way that you are to go. I will give you counsel. My eyes will be watching you." Now, I like that. That's how God is to us. He is guiding us and teaching us. He's instructing us. He's giving us counsel. And he's keeping an eye on us. We're not out here alone. He's watching. He knows when we're doing right. He knows when we're getting off track. He knows when we just plain get it wrong. He's not oblivious. He's watching us with great detail. Look at the next verse. "Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you." Now, what does he mean, don't be like a horse or a mule? Well, what's the context? What did he just talk about in verse 8? Leading you, guiding you, directing your life. And then what did he say? Don't be like a horse. Don't be like a mule. Now, no disrespect to my horse lovers. None intended. But horses are not intelligent in the way that humans are intelligent. You're not going to walk up to a horse and just say to them, "Now here's my expectations. I want you to do this, and then we're going to do this today, and then we're going to work on that." And you can't expect them to understand you. You can't just say, "Go over there, around that tree, jump this." It's not going to work. I was thinking about breaking horses. When you're first teaching them, you're not going to just walk up to that horse and say, "Now, here's what we're going to do." And the horse is going to think to himself, "Oh, I get it. You want to put that brown thing on my back and strap it. You're going to get on me, and I'm going to walk you around and do whatever you say. Oh, I get it. Yeah, let's go. Hop on." No, they're not going to get that. And I'm thinking, this may be wrong. You can correct me later if need be. But my perception of breaking horses involves things like spurs and the crop or the whip. Now, I don't know if they still do that today, because I know animal rights activists are everywhere, and I don't even want to get into that. You can catch me up later. But you understand, that's what that harness and that bit and that bridle, that's what that's all about. Because you can't just communicate intelligently. And God's talking about leading us and guiding us. And then he says, don't be like the horse or the mule that has no understanding. He doesn't want to lead us that way. He doesn't want to communicate on that level. He wants to speak to us intelligently and guide us intelligently. That's what he's talking about here. So I was, again, thinking of some examples. Maybe you're driving down the road and not quite watching what you're doing, maybe playing with the radio a little bit, and maybe plow into 3 parked cars. Maybe God's trying to tell you something. Or I thought of another example. Maybe you get a call from the school one day because your daughter tripped on the playground and chipped half of her front tooth off. I think God's trying to tell you something. Or maybe Maybe you were skiing one winter on your sister's birthday and went sliding down the ski slope, bounced your head off some ice, and knocked about 3 hours of memory right out of your head. I think God's trying to tell you something. Well, okay. Why did I pick those examples? Because all three of those are me. That's me. And so what's God trying to tell me then? If every situation he's trying to tell me something, then what was I supposed to learn? I'm supposed to learn not to be a mule. I think that's my message. Because see, here's the problem with being led by external things, by circumstances. God is not in complete control of everything. There are some things in life that were just you. Kind of like driving that car. Was God the one that distracted me so that I'd plow into three cars? No. I think I was about 19 years old. Luke was sitting in the passenger seat. There was a good-looking girl sitting between us. I'm playing with the radio and didn't see that I was coming into road construction, and that red light was so far ahead I didn't even notice it. Everybody had stopped. Was God distracting me? No, I was doing a pretty good job at distracting my own self. My message that day was, keep your eyes on the road. And I think I had like learned it. I've not done that since. Or my daughter tripping on the playground one day. God wasn't trying to tell us something. Maybe he was saying she's not graceful. I don't know. And ironically, she's not the one that I've considered ungraceful. I have another daughter that falls far more than that. No, God's not trying to speak to me through all these circumstances. Some of them are just me being me. Some of them are because we do have a devil in this world who is just as capable of manipulating circumstances in the world around us. The Apostle John said in 1 John, it's about the 5th chapter, he says, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The New Living Translation says, the whole world around us is under the control of the evil one. There are things the devil is doing in this earth today that has nothing to do with God. And it is not his sovereignty. And he's not in control of it. The Bible tells us differently. There are things that happen in our life that are not his will. It was not his plan. It was not his purpose. He did not orchestrate it. Sometimes it's just us being us. Sometimes it's because we have an enemy who is out to stop us. And the more you're doing for the kingdom, the more you're doing for God, the more of a threat you are to him. I think sometimes we blame everything on him, and I think there's probably a lot of times we just need to face it. That was us. We made a bad choice. We did something dumb. But it's not always God. Not everything. If you're going to... Let me say this. I was thinking about this. Some people think that God and the devil are working together, that they coordinate their efforts. I know. And they go back to Job, and they mishandle that. And there are others then that just think that... I don't know what they think. But I was thinking, if God was actually in control of everything, then he'd be in control of everything the devil's doing. He'd be in control of the devil. And if God were in control of the devil, Lucifer wouldn't have fallen. A third of the angels of heaven would not have been kicked out. There would have been no war. Nobody would have been in the garden tempting Adam and Eve. There would have been no fall. We would not have been born with a sin nature. And our life would look very different today than it does if God were in control of everything. He's not. Now, I'm not diminishing who he is or what he's capable of on any level. But I'm going to have to let the word speak to us and let it say what it says. And it says there are other things. We do have an enemy in this world. Let me look at this. Scripture tells us don't be like a horse. Don't be like a mule. And I think we're all capable. But Ephesians 5 verse 17. Let's do some New Testament. Paul says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We're supposed to understand. There should never be a debate. Can we or can we not know the will of God? It's not supposed to be a debate. He told us right there, don't be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. That tells me that it's capable. We have what we need. If we don't know what the will of the Lord is, then we've dropped the ball somewhere. We're not spending enough time with Him. We're not listening to the Holy Spirit. We're not reading our Bible. We're not doing something. Because He said here, don't be unwise, but know what the will of the Lord is. So we should know this. So many don't. I'll try not to dwell here because I'm going to run out of time. But there are so many that just, can I say it? I think we get lazy. Rather than spend the time studying and praying and fellowshipping with Him to get those answers, we just take the short route and slap, "If it be thy will," in every prayer. And just say, "Well, God, please, 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 this, 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 if it be thy will." And then what happens? We let circumstances dictate. If our prayer is answered, must have been God's will. If our prayer is not answered, must not have been His will. Well, if it be His will, He is sovereign. And again, I'm not making fun of people. But that doesn't line up with what Scripture teaches us. We're supposed to know. There's only one prayer, and I can't dwell on this. There's only one prayer where you don't know the will of God when you start. And it's the prayer of consecration. And that's the point of the prayer, is to figure out the will of God. God, what is your will in this situation? And that's a prayer we're supposed to pray. But there are several other kinds of prayer that we're supposed to know the will of God before we make the prayer. We're supposed to have done our homework. We're supposed to have fellowship. We're supposed to have already prayed that prayer of consecration. Then when we come back with these other prayers, like the prayer of faith, for example, you should know before ever you say, "Dear Heavenly Father," you already know what the will is. You're supposed to have done your homework. Don't be unwise. But know what the will of the Lord is. I got to get back on track. Church, it has never been this way. In all the history of man and God and our relationship with Him, it's never been that way. For the first 4,000 years of human history, God dealt with man intelligently. Go back through your Old Testament. We don't have time. But you know this as well as I do. God said to Abraham, didn't even get out of the first chapter of the Bible, and it says, and God said to Adam. Sorry, I said Abraham. God said to Adam, and He spoke, and He gave them directive. But you keep going. God spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Moses. He spoke to Noah. He spoke to Elijah and Elisha, to David, to Isaiah. I'm just skimming. For 4,000 years, He spoke intelligently to intelligent beings who weren't even saved. Jesus hadn't come yet. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. And I believe Paul wrote this. You may not, but that if I say Paul writes, that's what I mean. And the Apostle Paul said, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. God spoke intelligently to and through men, through the prophets. And He did that for 4,000 years. We have all kinds of history that's what He did. He wasn't leading through circumstances. In fact, if you go back to the Old Testament and you read through it, especially Deuteronomy or Joshua, there's lots of places. He told them many times ahead of time, if you will hear my voice and if you will follow my commandments, here's what it's going to look like. And He'll describe the circumstances ahead of time. But then He says, if you don't hear my voice, if you don't keep my commandments, this is going to happen. And He'll describe something different. Not every time, but many times He told them the circumstances ahead of time. He said, follow me, it's going to look like this. Don't follow me, it's going to look like that. And that's exactly what happened. And there were so many people over here who didn't follow God, wondering, why is my life like this? He told them. He told them ahead of time. Had nothing to do with His sovereignty. Had to do with their choices. Do you see that? And that's the old covenant. Don't we have a better covenant? That's what Hebrews 6:8 says. Nope, Hebrews 8:6. Don't be dyslexic. Hebrews 8:6 tells us, but now Jesus has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as He is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. The New Testament church is under a better covenant than the Old Testament church. And that's not me. That's what we just read. We are operating under a better covenant that has better promises than what we saw under the Old Testament. And yet many want to believe that our communication with our Father has gone backwards. In the Old Covenant, He spoke to Him through the prophets, but under the New Covenant, He just kind of beats us up with circumstances. That's not better. That's backwards. So go back to that. Hebrews 1:1. Let's read that all the way through. God, comma, who at various times in his various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, comma. Verse 2. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. And he goes on to talk about his Son a little bit. But what did he say? He said in the last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Anytime in Scripture you see the phrase last days, that always refers to the give or take 2,000 year period from Jesus' first coming to his second coming. It's the church age. We are living in the last days right now. Peter, on the Feast of Shavuot, or the day of Pentecost, stood up and preached to the thousands of people wondering what in the world was going on that day of Pentecost. And he said to them, they're not drunk as you suppose. He said, this is what the prophet Joel talked about. And you can go back and read Joel chapter 2. He prophesied in the last days God was going to do all these things. And Peter stood up and said, this is that. He was announcing the last days have begun. Everything Joel prophesied, this is it. We've started. And we are in those last days until Jesus comes back. So what's he saying here? In the last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. He's saying for the first 4,000 years, he spoke through the prophets. But for the last 2,000 years, he speaks through his Son. See, Scripture's very clear about this. He does still speak. He speaks through his Son. Now, let me go back briefly. Try not to dwell here. But I quoted a well-known minister earlier, who basically said the only way God speaks to us is through the Bible. And he quotes this passage. And he says, Jesus is the Word. He didn't do it. I could have helped him. He could have connected John chapter 1, where Scripture says Jesus is the Word. And so the Bible, because what he says is, once the apostles got the Bible completed, once they wrote all the epistles, and the canon was closed, and the New Testament, as we know it, was completed, that's when they believe that's Jesus now and the Bible speaks to us. And that's the stand they take. Okay, I get that. But that's incomplete. And this minister goes on to say now, you'll love this. I can't make this up. I'm quoting it. He says, we don't have the capacity to comprehend how God is moving in our lives until after he has already moved. And even then, we can't fully appreciate the magnitude of his supernatural power. No, his supernatural work. Let me get it right. He really believes we're just not smart enough to be able to communicate with God. It's amazing to me. And much of the church agrees. Much of the church follows him. So on paper, at least, they're saying God only speaks through his Word. But they're ignoring a lot of Scripture. And I want to go back to some of it. Hebrews 1:2. God has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Okay, we're in the last days. What has his Son said to us? Let's go back to where we started today. Just days before the New Testament church was begun on that Feast of Shavuot, or the day of Pentecost, Jesus was preparing his disciples. And he said to them, right back where we started, John 16:13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He was saying, in the last days, which are just about to begin, the Holy Spirit will be the one to guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He says the Holy Spirit will not speak whatever he wants to say. He's not going to have a conversation with you just on what he's thinking. He will only say to you what he's hearing. He won't speak on his own authority. But what he hears, he will speak to you. In other words, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is the voice of Jesus to you. He is Jesus' voice inside of you. That's where you hear. In fact, in Acts chapter 16, the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of Jesus. Now, I don't want to go down, we could get all distracted with that if we wanted to, because small wars have been fought over that verse. Because there are some who say, well, if the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, then the two are the one, they're the same person. There's no such thing as a Trinity, and they get all kinds of mixed up. And hours have been fought foolishly over that. That's not, they don't understand Trinity. There are three, and the three are one. Jesus said this many times. Remember what he said about the Father. He said, I'm in the Father and he's in me. He said, I and the Father are one. Let me not quote. I wrote this down. I and my Father are one. If you've seen the Father, no, got that backwards. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus said that. He and I are one. If you've seen me, you've seen him. Now what's he saying? I and the Holy Spirit are one. If you've heard him, you've heard me. Same principle. It's the Trinity. It's not hard. It's not complicated. It's the same principle. They're one. I could go a step further, but I'll not. I'm about out of time. If you've heard the Holy Spirit, you've heard Jesus. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. How does God lead his church today? By his Spirit. Just like he said he did. He's doing exactly what he said he would. And if we're not hearing him, it's not because he's not speaking. It's on us. I'm out of time. We'll stop right about here. But here's what I want to say. Come back next week. Because I'm not done. I'm right in the middle. I want to go to the New Testament. And I want to start looking at example after example. Don't take my word for it. Get your Bible out. See it with your own eyes. Here's what God did. Here's how he led. Here's what happened. And I want to put some New Testament scriptures to back a New Testament doctrine that is not opinion and tradition, but it's what the Bible says. That's my goal next week.